Would you look at that?
Right on time. Right on time.
Yeah, I call it adjustment time.
Is your phone fully charged?
No, it's at like 37%.
We were hoping for 40.
I got close, but not quite.
Did you by chance charge your AirPods at all while you were doing that, or do you not have a...
The charger's at my office. Charge.
Ah, I see, I see.
So I figure with the limited amount of time you gave me, I didn't have time to run over there.
Not necessarily, no. You don't. Why do you not have a cord in your car, dude? Come on, always be prepared.
Because as stupid as this might sound, Apple sells you a cord for your AirPods that you cannot plug into a USB port.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Steve Jobs. Because
that's the future, man. That's the future.
Yeah, that's the future, all right. They just like to upsell you a bunch of shit. By the way, the Midwest Hour is sponsored by Apple.
Fucking wish. We wish we had an actual sponsorship. I mean, we have Anchor, the best podcast streaming service on the App Store. Like, I mean,
they're right.
So this week we're gonna do it a little different. Ben and I had a couple of notes of what we wanted to do, so we're gonna start off the week. We're going to do the picks. Or we're going to do just a quick rundown of the scores from last week's games. Not going to really break into the stats that much of it. We're going to do our picks for week 7. And then we got 3 topics that we're going to highlight at the end of the episode. We got some injuries that happened. We got this rankings list from NFL. And then we have the NFL teams against the spread that we're going to break down. So it should be a good one. Starting off for your week 6, you had the Bucks and Eagles. We both had the Bucks plus 7. Bucks won, but they only won by 6, 28-22. But the Eagles doing a 2-point conversion at the end of the game, which seems a little weird, a little suspicious, but whatever. We'll just act like that didn't happen.
I think Jalen Hurts and the coach had some money on Tampa with spread.
Maybe. Or
against Tampa, I guess. plus 7 for the Eagles.
Jalen's like, put my whole contract on this game.
Yeah, they didn't want to push.
No. Next, you got Dolphins basically at Jags. Jags win by 23-20. We both had the Jags winning. Packers played the Bears. Aaron Rodgers said that he owns you. He's owned you your whole life, and he's going to keep owning you. And he wins 24-14. We both had the Packers.
Then I banged. What he said, like he said that he blacked out when he said that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Blacked out. So many Bears fans are flipping him the bird. He's just like, I fucking own you.
I mean, it'd be like when you see red, you're like, you're there consciously, but you don't like control your body, but like you're there consciously. I believe it. Next, you had the Bengals and Lions, and the Lions' worst defeat. This will be their worst loss of their 0-17 record, 34-11 to the Bengals. We both had the Bengals winning this one.
Dude, then by the way, Dan Campbell. He threw Goff under the receiving core. Like,
he threw Goff under the bus.
Oh, dude, for Goff, he was saying, like, if these guys could run their routes and not miss their assignments, maybe we could get some things done. I'm like, this poor
He was saying Goff isn't playing as well as he should be.
Basically. Yeah, this guy, like, he just, I don't think, understood what he was getting himself into.
No,
he was going to Detroit. He just basically just
Super Bowl dreams
further than they were.
Next, you got the Colts and Texans. We both had the Colts. Colts were 10-point favorites. They win by 28, 31-3, an embarrassment for Davis Mills, who had a great week last week against the Pats. You then have the Rams and Giants. We both had the Rams. Rams were 9.5-point favorites. They win 38-11. Chiefs and football team. Chiefs were 6.5-point favorites. They win by 18. It was an ugly first half by the Chiefs, but they came back really hard in the second half. You had Patrick Mahomes' little brother, Jackson, dancing on Sean Taylor's number. That was a sight to see, I guess. Quite the sight.
This guy's family. Have you seen the memes yet? Or is
his family's – like, Patrick Mahomes, his family's awful. Like, I like Patrick.
Yeah.
I think Patrick's a really good sport. His family's fucking the worst, though.
Did you see the memes where it's like, so it's Mahomes shaking Rodgers' hand, like, after a game? And Rodgers is just like, do what I did, just like get rid of your entire family.
I mean, basically, his mom's calling out Tyreek Hill for having a ball bounce out of his hands and getting an interception. His dad did something, I thought.
I can't remember. His mom, his fiance, wife, girlfriend, whatever you want to call it, and his brother are like the fucking worst.
Just the fucking worst. The guy's already trying his hardest to keep this team together. They're 2-3. They're now 3-3, but he's doing his best just to keep this mold together. And he has all this fucking background noise from people that don't understand football. Oh. Next up, you have Vikings at Panthers. It was the first game Ben and I disagreed on. Vikings were Ben's pick. Panthers were my pick. Vikings win this OT nail-biter, 34-28. Panthers had a big comeback, though, in that fourth quarter. Vikings almost ran away at the game, and the Panthers surprisingly stayed in it. Kirk Cousins did pretty good, too.
Like I said last week, these two teams are fairly even matched because they're, like, all, like, bubble wildcard teams at the end of the year, in my opinion. Like, Seattle with Wilson's in that mix, too, by the way.
According to the power rankings, your statement is true. Yeah. The Vikings jumped big in the power rankings, so we'll get to that. But I think they had the biggest jump.
They're good. They just can't close some of these games, which is odd.
I mean, there's always one team that happens to. Last year was the Chiefs, this year's the Vikings, which means next year they'll get a stud second-year quarterback.
It's been the Chargers for like 20 years. So,
speaking of the Chargers, you had Chargers. I had Ravens in this game. Ravens were 3-point favorites. Ravens decimate the Chargers, 34-6.
Did you catch most of this game or no?
It was a 34-6 blowout. I did not catch any of this game.
Well, I didn't because I was moving stuff all weekend. But like,
I did have Latavius Murray who hurt his ankle in the third.
I damn near put money on the Chargers at halftime because it was like plus 300 on the money line. I was like, this might be worth a bet, but I didn't do it.
Well, good thing you didn't.
Yeah, I thought that they'd come back because they're a second half team. It's kind of like the Chiefs, you know? Like,
yeah.
Chiefs in the second half are way better. Most of the teams that are really good are better in the second half. So I figured the Chargers would bounce back. They just got whooped.
True. Next, we have the last game that we disagreed on, Cardinals at Browns. You had Browns at Cardinals. Browns were 3-point favorites. Cardinals just embarrassed the Browns at home, 37-14. Mayfield's shoulder is an issue we'll talk about later. But
yeah, well, like with the Browns, though, they're just, like, depleted. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, that they have freaking OBJ out there, and they're not throwing him the ball. Just throw him the ball. Force it to him. I don't even care at this point anymore. It's Ben's 6 weeks, he's played, 4 weeks now? He hasn't had a single touchdown? And trust me, I know this. They said that on the freaking – the announcer said that. I was like, oh, I know. Oh, he's on my team.
Like, he was hurt, and then Landry got hurt. Now Baker's hurt. Chubb and Hunt are out. It's kind of weird because, like, coming into Thursday's game, I almost think the Broncos have a shot at contending, like, for a win there.
Maybe,
I don't know if they'll win, but, like – with a depleted Browns team, they're pretty much on the Broncos level.
Next up, we had Raiders and Broncos. We both thought this was going to be a Raiders revenge game. We were right. Raiders won 34-24. Next up, got the Cowboys and Pats. You almost should have went with your home team, Pat. Your not home team, your favorite team, Pats. But Cowboys, they came out with the OT victory. CeeDee Lamb did a little wave. Dak hurt his calf a little bit, but we'll get to that.
Side note here with the Patriots, they haven't won a single game at home. I don't know what the hell's going on. Because typically at Foxborough, they just kill it. I don't know what's going on here. I think it's just a lot of new players getting acquainted. But
fun fact, Cardinals have won every home game. Also, every away game.
Oh, no shit, you know.
Your Sunday night game, you had Seahawks and Steelers. We both had the Steelers here. And Geno made this game a lot better than it should have been. Steelers barely win 23-20. And not a good showing for the Steelers, honestly.
Yeah.
And then for your Monday night game, we got Bills and Titans. We both had the Bills winning this game. And Derrick Henry just laughed at us. And
so
leads the Titans to a victory, 34-31.
So you said you beat me in picks earlier. How'd you beat me in picks?
Because right and the Cardinal Brown right. You picked the Vikings Panthers game right. That's the only one you got right. So I had 12 picks right. You had 11 picks right. Out of 14 games, I got 12 right. You had 11 right. That's pretty good odds. You know, I take that.
Yeah,
is that going to win you money in Is that going to win you money in Vegas? Probably not, but
that might win me money in Wyoming. I might need to just like trust the gut a little bit more.
Just go with. Just go. Listen back to the pod. We're doing these picks early now, so you don't got to wait till the very end of the pod anymore.
And by the way, before we skip past it, did you watch Monday Night Football last night?
Yes.
Okay.
I felt the Titans. The entire time I was like, "Let's go, Nick! Let's go, Nick! Let's go, Nick!" And
well, like I don't understand how like the Bills' defense looked night and day different compared to like the Chiefs' game, right? But then Derrick Henry was just a fucking animal out there. I mean, he couldn't be stopped. He's just
This is the first time that Henry's gotten over 100 yards against the Bills, too.
Yeah, I think so. Well, this year, he's on a tear. I can't remember how many yards. He's on pace to break the rushing record. I mean, not
that's why he's my top five MVP candidate right now.
Yeah, but nobody's going to talk about him being MVP. Even if he breaks Dickerson's record, which has been held for like almost 30 years, I don't even think he'd get MVP, which is a bunch of shit.
So right now he's averaging 130 yards a game. So he got 17 games. Let's say he plays all 17. He'd get 2,200 yards. If he just plays 16, he gets 2,080 yards. The record's, what, 21-6-6-7?
Yeah.
21-6-7, I think.
He'd be right on the cusp. I mean, like...
The NFL rushing is 21-05. So, yeah, I mean, he'd be right there.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me he's not going to have a few more breakout games of 200 yards.
Well, he broke 2,000 yards last year and got no love at all.
He was top three, but he was nowhere near the top two in the talks, which is awful. I mean, like, it should have been a three-player race. And they're like, oh, yeah, Derrick Henry's here, but let's not talk about that.
Granted, Rodgers and Mahomes each only threw, like, 5 interceptions all of last year. It's pretty
impressive. But did they run for 2,000 yards and get their heads bashed in every single time? I think not.
Derrick Henry, that guy, that run where they clocked him at like 21 miles an hour.
Fast as fuck.
That was fucking ridiculous.
But now let's go into our week 7 picks. I think there's a good amount of buys this week too. Yeah, there's 6 teams on bye. So yep. All right. So our Thursday night game. You got Broncos at Browns. Baker is planning on playing Thursday. He's preparing like he's playing Thursday, but he did separate that shoulder that he has that partially torn labrum in. So who knows? I got the Browns though.
Yeah, I'll take the Browns on this one too. I think this game is just going to be a low scoring game. The over-under is 42.5. I take the under.
Yeah. Up next, you got football team at Packers. Who do you got?
Yeah, you take the Packers.
Yeah, I got Packers. Chiefs at Titans. Titans coming off that big win. Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites.
This is a tough one. So Kansas City's favored by 5.5, which is odd to me because they're going to Tennessee and their defense is shit. The big variable, as long as Julio and A.J. Brown are playing, the Titans should win, I would think.
Julio, let me see, what do I got here? Julio did have a hamstring pull, so he's questionable. I don't know about A.J., though.
I'll take Chiefs on this one, but I fully expect the Titans to cover on the spread.
Well, up next, you got Falcons at Dolphins. I believe Dolphins have Tua back. Yeah.
Who are you taking out of that Chiefs game?
Oh, I already said I got Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah, I got Chiefs too. Yeah, Falcons, Dolphins, so Tua might be back, he said.
I think he's back because I think he played last week, so.
This is like the fucking toilet bowl 4.0. Are you taking Falcons?
Well, 100%. I am loyal.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm taking the Falcons. I have no faith in Miami, like, at all.
Remember how high we were on them earlier in the year?
Well, they looked pretty promising coming out of the gate, and I don't know what the hell happened.
Their defense is just falling apart, really.
Well, that's what their strength was last year.
Yep. Jets at Pats. Pats are 7-point favorites.
The Patriots are going to crucify the Jets.
As much as it'd be funny for me to pick the Jets, I'm going to pick the Pats.
I was going to say, it's like an annual tradition to watch the Patriots beat the hell out of the Jets.
That's the toilet bowl right there.
No.
Panthers Falcons game at Giants. Panthers are 3-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm taking the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Panthers.
The Giants are like a depleted team that I'm pretty sure Bama could beat.
Bengals at Ravens. Ravens are 6-point favorites.
Damn. I'm going to take the Ravens because they're at home, and that's a division showdown.
Finally. Fuck, dude. I have the Bengals.
Do you?
Yeah. Eagles, I don't know. At that's going to be a good game. Eagles at Raiders. I got Raiders.
Yeah, me too.
They're going to win out this year. You just wait. Lions at Rams. Rams are 15-point favorites.
The Rams are probably going to cover, and I'm going to take them. This is like Matt Stafford's fuck you game.
Exactly. Texans at Cardinals. Cardinals are 17.5-point favorites. I have Cardinals.
Yeah. I got Cardinals, but they won't cover that. There's no way.
Texans are bad. I think they'll take. I think they'll cover. Bears at Bucks. Bucks are 12.5-point favorites. I got Bucks.
Yeah, I'm taking Bucks.
Okay, Colts at Niners. I got Colts.
Who's a quarterback for the Niners?
Does it really matter? I mean, yes, they're both about the same talent level.
It matters.
According to the depth chart, they're both questionable.
Huh.
Lance was not spotted at practice on Monday, and Jimmy G participated on Monday for practice, but he just still has a calf injury, I guess. But
you said you have Colts?
I have Colts.
I'll take the Niners on this one.
Yeah, fuck it. Might as well. Saints at Seahawks. Saints are 5-point favorites. However, Russell Wilson did run that no-huddle offense with zero people.
Did you see how drugged up he was on the sideline?
Yeah.
He's just got the earpiece and he's like, Gino, do not fuck this up.
Do not fuck this up.
As he fumbled twice.
Saints are 5-point favorites. Yeah, I also got the Saints. We got to change one game. Since I won last week, I'll change one of my games. Unless there's a game that you want to change, I guess, particularly. But I'll just take the Giants over the Panthers. They got to win it. They got to win a game, right?
Sure. Yeah, whatever. Whatever you think. You'd be better off taking the Broncos on that Browns game.
I mean, I could take the Eagles. And the Broncos-Browns game wouldn't be that bad. The Eagles-Raiders game also wouldn't be that bad. I'm going to get burnt really hard on this Giants pick. I'm just hoping that my Colts and Bengals pick one. My third pick, I don't care about that one. I know I won with the Bengals against the Ravens and the Colts against the Niners. So I noticed a pattern here, Ben. You chose every single favorite.
It's not necessarily that I choose every single favorite. It's just
this week. No, just this week. You don't do it every week. I'm just saying this week.
Yeah, there's some games in here that are just gonna be fucking gross. I mean, like the Rams game.
You don't believe that the Texans will upset the Cardinals?
No, the Texans might score some points, but the Cardinals are gonna beat them down. Tampa's gonna beat the Bears down good. I don't know if Tampa will cover that 12.5-point spread though. Strictly because the Bears defense is pretty good.
Yeah, Cardinals and Rams, I believe they'll cover. Bucks, that's the one question I got. Yeah. Because it's not like the Bears are that bad of a team, just their offense is not. It's like below good.
Same thing here, like, and this is coming from a Patriots fan. I don't know that they cover 7 points.
Pats? Yeah, maybe not.
I think that's an under game, too. Because, like, the over-under is 42.5. These two teams, like, the Patriots offensively, they're starting to click more week by week, obviously. The Jets are
Jacoby Myers is looking pretty good.
But I don't see the Patriots scoring a ton of points. I sure as hell don't see the Jets scoring a ton.
Yeah.
The Falcons Dolphins over under is 47.5. They're fucking crazy. No way.
Well, the Falcons are gonna score 42 by themselves.
Yeah.
Cordell Patterson's getting 4 touchdowns.
Maybe in the first half. That game, like picking the Falcons scares me a little bit because they never can close a game.
You don't need to close a game when you have 4 touchdowns. You have at least 4 touchdown lead. Not 3, but 4.
Yeah, let me know when that happens.
Now we'll go into one of our highlights. I figured we should talk about the injuries real quick, you know, just get them out of the way. We got a bunch of injuries to go through. So I kind of wrote these in order, kind of didn't. They're kind of all over the place. But Titans, they had their tackle, Lewin. He got carted off. He got stretchered out and everything. It looked kind of scary, but thankfully it's just a concussion. He may be able to play this week, honestly. And then they also had a rookie, Farley, he tore his ACL. And then Julio Jones got a hammy. So we'll see how that goes.
And that Seahawks player that got fucking ripped.
Yep. The Hawks, Daryl Taylor carted off. He seems okay, though. He's questionable next week, which that's crazy to me.
Dude, I don't understand how he's questionable or how, like, with a concussion, you're, like, able to play the next week. Like, Daniel Jones, I don't understand how he actually got medically cleared. I don't think that's possible.
He's a very smart man.
He probably still thinks his name's fucking Aaron, dude.
I mean, I don't know why you'd want to go, why you'd want to clear yourself and play against the Rams. I mean, he did throw 3 interceptions, so maybe he wasn't cleared. But
could be, yeah.
For the Bills, the tight end Knox fractured his hand towards the end of that game.
Yeah.
Bucks Sherman went down with a hammy, and he's doubtful this week.
Do you see that tweet?
No, I did not. What was it?
Somebody said something like to the Richard Sherman about, like, oh man, like, you just started playing and you already, like, pulled your hammy. And he said some stupid shit back. And then this guy's all like, well, at least your wife is safe.
Oh, I did see that.
I'm all like, yikes.
Packers, their center Myers, he went down with a knee injury, but it shouldn't be season ending, thankfully. Lions defensive end Nick Williams got injured. He injured his left ankle. It's questionable. This is sort of around the time where I decided that I'm not covering every single injury because nobody cares about these players. So now we go to the Colts. You got Campbell, who's on the IR after hurting his foot on a touchdown. And on T.Y.'s return game, he hurt his hammy and is questionable for next week, which is really sad. But, I mean, he got 80 yards in his first game back. Just shows you that he's going to be a monster when he gets back.
Did you see anything? I think it was in the game last night. A returner for the Titans, I believe it was. He was running and he, like, messed his knee up and he ran into his teammate.
I think that was Farley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Towards ACL.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yep. For the Vikings, Patrick Peterson's on the IR with a hammy. Ravens, Latavius Murray left with an ankle injury. I believe he's only questionable, though. For the Browns, you got Hunt, who's on the IR with a calf injury. Baker, who dislocated his shoulder, which was already at a partially torn labia, whatever, and labias. But in interviews, he said he was preparing to play this week. So,
dude, that guy's just like, he's going to get himself really hurt. Like, he's almost like Carson Wentz, where he just plays through fucking anything.
Who do you think will have a longer career, Baker or Lamar?
I'm going to take Baker, and the only reason is all the running that Lamar Jackson does, he's going to get popped, and, like, one of those hits is just going to be, like, a fucking killer for him.
It's going to be an RG3 career ender, basically.
Yeah, and, like, the only thing there, too, is like, with the running ability, the older you get, you're not as fast, so, like, over time, just watch. It's going to happen at some point. I mean, he has an arm. Like, if they just keep him in the pocket, like, he can thrive. But
yeah,
right now, he's literally putting the entire offense on his back.
I mean, honestly, think about it. Give him, like, 5 more years of, like, quarterback reading development, and honestly, he won't even need his legs.
Yeah, I don't even think he necessarily needs them now. He just uses them all the time because he is the team right now.
I mean, fuck, if you got it, might as well use it.
Yeah.
So, for the Pats,
the one thing, by the way, that Lamar doesn't do that I've been seeing, like, a lot of quarterbacks, especially Carson Wentz, do is dive head first. That shit will end your career, like, today.
Well, I think Lamar took enough big hits in college where he's like, maybe I should slide.
Yeah.
Pats, they got Winovich and Barrymore out. They're both sidelined in the third. Winovich is out for Sunday's game, and Barrymore's out, or he's questionable, so he may come back. Both your linebackers. Cowboys, Dak strained his calf on the last play for that touchdown, but he said he's not worried about it. So
yeah,
I guess that means he's good to play
Sunday, like after the game.
Yeah.
I think it's just a precautionary measure.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. And that's all your injuries for week 6. A lot of people getting hurt.
In other news, I'm seeing Robert Quinn's on the COVID list, so I don't know if he's playing.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Good old Vin.
So now we got either the teams against the spread or power rankings. Which one do you want going to first?
Let's roll through the power rankings quick and look at the top 10.
All right. So for your power rankings in the NFL, we'll start at 10 and go down to 1, make it interesting, right? So at number 10, you got the Tennessee Titans moving up one rank from the 11th to 10th after beating the Buffalo Bills in overtime. Honorary mentions, by the way, Bengals are 11th and Browns are at 12th. Going up to 9th, you got the Chiefs, who were at number 10 last week. You then have the Chargers, who were 7th last week after getting blown out, are now 8th. You have the Packers, who were previously 5th last week. They're 7th now after a win against the Bears. I guess the Bears win didn't look that dominant, but I don't think that they deserve to lose 2 spots over it. You then have the Ravens jumping up from 8th to 6th. And then you have the Cowboys, who move up from 6th to 5th. I got a couple things to talk about that, but we'll get to that when we get to that. You then got the Bucks, who are at 4th. They were at 4th last week. The Rams, who were at 3rd last week, they're at 3rd this week. The Buffalo Bills, who were at 1st last week, moving to 2nd. And then you got your Arizona Cardinals, who were previously 2nd, now in 1st, where they should have been all along anyways, but whatever. Well, so I got a couple things that I noticed in this, right?
Yeah.
One, I think that the Bills are too high. I don't think that they're the second best team. I think that
they're
both. I think the Rams and Bucks are all better. I can maybe even argue the Cowboys, maybe. No, I take that back. The Rams and Bucks are definitely better than them. I think that they just have them there because they're an AFC team. But on the only team that the Bills have beat is the Chiefs.
That's a big win.
Yeah, but then they beat the Dolphins, football team, Texans. They lose to the Steelers, and they lost to the Titans last night.
Yeah, that Titans game was a nail-biter.
That was a nail-biter. I'll give them that. But they only have one real credible win on their record, and that's against the Chiefs, which it was a really good win, but I don't think that's number two good to be a win.
And by the way, the Titans at number 10, the only way that they should even be a top 10 team is if Julio and A.J. Brown are healthy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I think that the Bengals should be up there. If the Browns are healthy, the Browns. Well,
the Bengals should be top 10. The Titans should be like 11 on the bubble.
Yeah. If they just switch them, because they have the Titans at 11, or Titans at 10, Bengals at 11.
The Bengals you could even put above the Chiefs if you really wanted to. I think they're overrated right now.
Yeah, you could have the Chiefs just sticking at 10. I mean, you could even move the Chargers had an embarrassing loss, only losing one ranking because of that. This is not my NCAA rankings. Also, I think that the Cowboys are way too high as well. I think that they're playing weak teams. They got the weakest schedule. They're going to finish with a very good record because they literally are in the easiest division. And the hardest game, so they got the Vikings, which are debatable whether that's a tough game or not. They have the Chiefs, Raiders, and then Cardinals for their second to last game. Otherwise, they just have a cakewalk.
You know the team here that has, like, a super tough schedule? Just the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers, yeah.
The rest of their season, I mean, it's just, like, go, go, go. I mean, they got really good teams they're playing against.
They're also in the North, which, I mean...
The North is tough. Like,
yeah, the Bears and the Vikings.
But I'm talking, like, outside of that, they got some pretty tough
games. You got Cards, you got Chiefs, you got the Seahawks, if Russell's back by then, you got the Rams, Ravens. Yeah, the Packers are going to have a tough – if they have a, they're not, like – they'll probably be top four because I bet you they win the North, but
– Yeah, I mean, the Packers, they're damn good, too.
That's going to be a tight North race, though, because of that.
Yeah, well, the Vikings got to play the same quality of teams.
Yeah, but there are other games, though. I mean, they're probably not going to be playing the Cardinals and the Rams.
They probably will because they're both in the West. The Ravens might be a one-off.
So, yeah, the Vikings play the Ravens. They play the Chargers, Niners, Steelers, Rams. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be tough. It's going to be tight at the top of the North. But I'm just saying I think the Cowboys – their schedule is too easy. I don't think they deserve to be a top five right now. Top 10, sure. I mean, they're going to finish. They're probably going to be the 2 seed, the 3 seed maybe in the NFC. I don't think they all deserve that spot. I think they'll be the weaker top seed. They'll probably lose a they're going to lose a home, but
yeah, it all depends too on if it falls apart injury wise.
So I don't even care if it's injury wise or not. I think everyone's just too high up on Cowboys. Just like how everyone's always high up on Texas for college football. They're always like, oh, this year's Texas year. It never is. It's never the Cowboys year. It ain't gonna be the Cowboys year.
Hasn't been Texas's year since like Vince Young.
Literally every single year. It's my favorite thing to see. I'll watch my first week of college football and they're breaking down the games that are happening week one. They're like, and Texas plays this team. Is this going to be Texas year? They're going to have the breakout year that we all think they're going to have. They're ranked 13th this year. They're going to do it. And they lose three straight weeks in a row. And it's like, okay, season's over.
Back your shit.
Back your shit. Go home. Also, some other notables, I guess. You have the Vikings here at 16th. You also have the Patriots at 21st. I think that's a little bit too much, giving you a little bit too much because the Falcons are out here at 26th. I think they're definitely better than the Patriots, but the
Falcons
I mean,
should be lower than that.
I mean, no, every team below them, they're really bad.
Let's see, who do they have?
Unbiasedly, every other team below the Falcons deserves to be below the Falcons. And the only team that the Falcons deserve to be above, I think, would be the football team.
And the Lions.
and the Lions.
The Lions.
No, I'm saying they're
ahead of them.
Yeah, they're ahead of them. Is the football team's the only team ahead of them? I think the Falcons should be above them, but whatever. You have the Dolphins at 27th, Jets at 28th, which is very generous. Jags at 29th, Houston at 30th, Giants at 31st, and then of course your Lions at 32nd.
Yeah, kind of a weird basement of the league here.
I mean, honestly, though, the bottom five though you can mix around.
You know what the worst part about the bottom of the league is this year?
There's no good overall pick.
Yeah, like the draft has no good quarterback class coming in there. So like let's say the Lions decide at the end of this year if they have the number one pick, we're gonna move on from Jared Goff. It's like, who are you gonna take? Spencer Rattler, who's been benched for a true freshman? Like,
I think what you end up doing, I mean, I'd probably take Ritter, the Cincinnati quarterback, honestly.
But not that high.
No, not that high. I think you trade out of your number one overall pick to some dumbass team.
Yeah.
And you get two first-round picks that way. And then you take
two first-round picks. If they're going to go in there, they're going to have to take it the same way that the Rams took the Redskins back in, like, 2012.
All right. I'm used to Madden trades. I'm sorry. I misspoke. I'm used to Madden trades.
No, they're going to take four first-round picks and the first naming rights to the first child. And then Detroit's back on the map.
Exactly. There. That's all you need to do. It's that easy. Now, so moving on from the power rankings, we now have – I saw this interesting article on ESPN. It's apparently just the author is ESPN.com, I guess. So I can't credit it to anyone. But it was NFL teams against the spread. And on here – in 2021, or let's start back here. 2019, there were 7 games decided exactly by 3 points and 12 by exactly 7. Through 6 weeks. In 2020, there was 9 games decided by 3 points exactly and 8 by 7 exactly. In 2021, there's been 15 games decided by exactly 3 points and only 5 that have been exactly 7 points.
Well, these teams are a lot more competitive, it seems like, this year, at least from what I've seen.
I don't know if it's the teams are more competitive. I think the early season matchups have been really good because this week's going to be an awful week of football. It's going to be blowouts everywhere. It's going to be just a shitty week to watch football.
I mean, we've had really good matchups, but there's more teams coming out of the woodwork that are good. I mean, like, who would have guessed coming into the season that the Bengals would be 4-2.
Number one Joe Burrow fan right here. Number one Burrow back.
I get that, but like, there's so many questions. Like, how's he?
I am the leader of the Burrow backers.
All right. Speaking of LSU, do you see Coach O's out?
Go Tigers. Go home with me instead of your husband.
He's going to try to move his ass to L.A. before Urban Meyer gets there.
Well, he's still there till the end of the season.
I know, but you would think he's going to try to negotiate something out right away.
Well, I can't believe, like, why would you announce, yeah, hey, by the way, guys, everybody here, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He's stuck here, but fuck that guy.
They're just, like, fucking enjoying him for, like, six more weeks because he's still your guy, but after this year, he's out.
You know what, though? I bet you that crowd gives him standing ovation, like, in the at least the next few home games.
Well,
especially the last one. The city loves him.
He went from the top of college football winning a natty with Joe Burrow to literally the fucking basement because right now they're like a 500 team.
Yeah, they're 500 since they won the natty. But yeah, I think last year had COVID. This year the talent's all there and the talent's just not playing well. Oh,
I read you gotta
put
some of
it on coaching, but
apparently a lot of the players don't want to play for Coach O and there's coaches that don't want to coach for him. So I'm just waiting for some emails to come out.
That's so weird though because like he's a great recruiter, so why would you want to be recruited by him but not want to play for him?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me, you know?
After reading the whole thing about the LSU executive's girlfriend that Coach O was having, like, girlfriends bring their kids to practice.
That's funny, though. You know what? Let that little kid get mossed by somebody, all right?
That little kid's just coming in. He's all like, hey, man, you want to put some pads on? Yeah, you'll be a recruit here in 10 years.
He's like, all right, yeah, go play a D-end right here. He has a guard pull and lay him out on his ass.
So
your son's died, but you want to come home with me? Make my ham and cheese sandwich?
I just wonder if Coach O's going to take, like, a year off or if he's just going to go straight after USC. USC, I don't understand. It's really, like, a highly coveted job, but they haven't been good since Pete Carroll. So, like,
I think it's honestly just media pushing it up. I don't think it's that, like, think about it, though. But, like, if it was such a good job, why has it been so long since a good coach has gone there?
Because they had sanctions after the whole Reggie Bush shit. So they had that. But then, like, the big thing with USC, too, is that it's L.A. So, I mean, it's a huge market. So,
speaking,
like,
of sanctions, have you seen SMU coming back a little bit?
Yeah, I saw that. The biggest thing for me right now, Cincinnati's number two.
I saw that. My jaw dropped. I was like, holy shit.
When, like, I love that Cincinnati's, like, getting there and they're a top five team right now because they're good. But in all reality, Alabama or Georgia would just fucking crucify them.
I fucking hope that they make it to the playoffs, though. You gotta. Like, if they're undefeated, you can't take them out.
No, you can't. I mean, I thought they should have been in the playoff last year.
I think their defense was one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league last year.
Yeah, but Georgia and Alabama are, like, the top of the top.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bama got upset by A&M, which will probably never, ever happen again. Nick Saban probably wants to just, like, hate fuck them next time they play.
Oh, you know what's going to be a good game, though?
What's that?
November 20th, Cincinnati, SMU. They'll both be undefeated by then, I bet.
Yeah, SMU's going to get beat.
Probably. But SMU may be the only team that upset Cincinnati. Otherwise, Cincinnati's got a cakewalk for the rest of the season. Anyways, let's get on to the rest of the spread. I saw that also the Cowboys are the only team that's 6-0 against the spread, and they're 5-1 over-under. So bet the over with them, and if you bet the spread, you'll probably win.
Sounds like a good same game parlay. You want to hear something crazy about betting?
What?
The Bills, this is actually an NFL record, they've led at halftime for 15 straight games.
That's crazy.
I mean, you don't get very good odds on it, like, ever. But, yeah, the 15 straight. I thought maybe last night the streak would snap, but not the case.
Let me see. What else? Also, teams that are 5-1 against the spread, there's only two. Packers and Cardinals. And then there's a few teams that are 4-2. This is the last, like, kind of note that I wrote down. The Bills, the Colts, the Titans, Chargers, and Rams are all 4-2 against the spread. I didn't really look at over-under. I didn't really think that mattered that much. There was one team that I looked at, that their over-under stat interested me.
Yep.
The Seahawks are the only team that have not gone over this season. They are 0-5-1.
Really?
Yes.
I never would have expected that because typically their offense is just Russ out there cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would have expected them to be over more times than not.
No, they are.
I bet if you look at it last year, they were over more times than they were under.
At the beginning of the season, actually. So in the previous, let's see here, 11 of the previous 13 regular season Seattle games, they've gone under.
No shit.
Somebody
out there at DraftKings is doing a damn good job.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Don't get fired.
Just bringing in the money because I'm pretty sure perception is that they always go over.
Yes. So just keep just keep taking in that money.
Put that in the back pocket.
People that listen to the Midwest Hour, they know.
Yeah, and they also know that everybody doesn't want Miles Sanders for some reason. I don't know why.
Because what does anybody gain by getting Miles Sanders?
It's the upside, David. It is the
what's the upside? They're not even using him in the run game. Jalen Hurts is the run game.
The upside is he gets more carries, and then I protect the downside by putting a first-round pick in there so that way you can grab a really good rookie running back that's going
to How does a first-round pick next year help you win the championship this year?
I literally feel like in a dynasty league, nobody in our league values picks, by the way, which is fucking dumb because we're in a dynasty league.
It's the first year. All your picks are for rookies anyways.
I know, but like it just doesn't make any sense. And by the way, I had a really weird idea with fantasy football. Like in a dynasty league, you should be able to only protect like 4 players every year, and then everybody gets redrafted. I'm sure there's a form of that somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I was thinking about that because
that's what I thought. That's what I thought it was going to be originally.
No, because like the way it is, like how we're set up, you keep all of your players. You get like 3 picks for rookies, which is cool and all. But like it's a keeper league. That's the fucking name of it. Yeah, keeper league. So like protect 4 players, and then everybody else goes back out.
Well, Commissioner, you should look to see if you can adjust the settings and see if we can do that.
I probably can, and then I'll probably just get fucking chirped at because I'm commish.
Well, we'll talk about it in the group chat. Make sure everybody knows ahead of time before we do that.
Make sure everybody knows except for the 2 people that never set their fucking lineups. It seems like it never fails. Like I think we could have the buy-in of $500 and there'd be 2 people that never set their lineups.
I had 2 open spots this week because my kicker got put on the IR the day before. I dropped my defense because I didn't have a running back to play. I was like, oh, well, a running back will be better. Scared me at first because Washington's fucking defense is very good against the Chiefs.
Try being me this week.
Fucking gave me a heart attack.
I had 3 guys on my bench that scored over 20 points.
You know what? I had everybody but 1 person on my bench score points. Nice. No, I had everybody on my bench not score points but 1 person, and that was Tyler Higbee. Everyone else was either on the IR or a bye week, so you can go fuck yourself.
Well, we play each other this week.
And I'm going to fuck you up because I got Cordell Patterson back, bitch.
I don't know if that's quite the case. I got Patty in there. He's going to be doing good. Got Derek Carr in there. He's going to be doing good.
Derek Carr is going to cook. That's okay. I got Patterson going to cook. Kyler Murray going to cook. I got Derek Carr doesn't. Do you realize who the Cardinals are playing this week?
I know, but like if Kyler Murray might get sat like in the 3rd quarter, by the way. But like Derek Carr.
Yeah, after he scores me 50 fucking points.
Derek Carr, if he doesn't cook, the Raiders have no chance. So yeah, he has to cook. Because what are they going to do? Just try to run it with Josh Jacobs? No, I don't think so.
No, not at all.
But yeah, right. I don't know. And by the way, did you see that the Jags cut their kicker this week?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played since week 3 though.
Yeah, and somehow, and this is strictly because of Aaron Rodgers, Mason Crosby didn't get cut after missing fucking 3 field goals and an extra point
in one game. He'll be fine.
I just don't understand that. That guy cost me money, David. Like, I was fucking pissed. Like, if he would have like just made 1 kick and won that game, it would have been just night and day. Without it going over the point threshold, I guess you could say, because they won that game.
Well, you know, if Josh Allen, instead of going for a quarterback sneak and falling on his face, would have just done a quick jump ball 4th down to Stephon Diggs and got me that touchdown, I would have won money on DraftKings. But it's fine.
And that fucking play, that bugs me because it's like, okay, The defense knows exactly what you're going to do. And then he runs and he slips. I'm all like, this guy, like, they should have just fed the ball to Singletary on, like, a halfback toss or some shit. It would have threw him off, at least, or a screen or something.
I think, if I remember correctly, Allen likes doing that kind of quarterback sneak where he goes up and then breaks it out.
Well, like, a couple of plays before that one, the end of the game, you see that jump that he made where it was the same drive. Yeah, he made the jump to get the first down. Fucking hurdles a guy. I've seen him do it a couple of times. It's pretty cool.
I mean, I think that they spotted the ball really short from where they should have, but
yeah, I mean, he's like a fucking fullback with an arm.
But all right, I think we ended here.
All right, there, Dante.
It was a good podcast. Good podcast.
Yeah.
Let's see how this new format works out.
All right. Sounds good. Later.
See ya.